Joining me now for the next segment to talk about consumer over-indebtedness and the really dire picture that we've been getting from the National Credit Regulator in terms of the amount of credit-active consumers who have impaired records. And the source of the problems is Matthys Potgieter, a spokesperson from DebtSafe. He joins me on the line now. Good to talk to you, Matthys.
Good evening, Warren. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's just start with this very poor picture that you've provided from the National Credit Regulator regarding the total outstanding consumer credit in South Africa and the amount of consumers that have impaired credit records. Just give us the figures as you understand them from the National Credit Regulator.
Based on the latest statistics that was given on December 2017, we see that there's around about more than 1.7 trillion outstanding consumer credit currently in South Africa. That also says more when we have a look at the amount of credit active consumers. That's only around about more than 25 million credit active consumers that actually has this 1.7 trillion credit out there. But the most dangerous part is, or the most interesting part actually, and also bleak, is that out of that 25 million or more than 25 million, more than 9 million consumers reflect impaired credit records. That means that they are behind with one or two or three payments on some of their credit agreements. And that shows to us that the South African consumer is over-indebted. They do not make ends meet. The other thing as well that it shows is that the South African consumer is so dependent on credit that they use credit just to get by at the end of the month.
Okay, so you said that of the 25 million credit active consumers, virtually 10 million, I mean that translates to well over 40%, have impaired
exactly.
records. Just to kind of add substance to that, how many employed people do we have in the country, formerly employed people?
Well, unfortunately, I do not have that statistics available at the moment. But if we have a look at the broader scheme, they also say that right about only 20% of the South African consumer that is actively employed, they are the people that is credit active consumers. And that is also why in March, the Pick and Pay and other places went to court to actually appeal the National Credit Act and saying that informal people or people with informal jobs that do not have a pay slip, they cannot actually get credit. So that is why they went to the court with that. And that ruling actually then got actually made, well, applicable. But the other side is that majority of the people that is actually credit active consumers, only a very small part of the population of South Africa.
Okay, so I think, and I'm probably just using speaking from memory and under correction here, but I think that we have only as much, I think it's probably only as much as 12 million people that have formal employment. So this would certainly indicate that we have a lot of people that have been extended credit that are not formally employed. And that obviously makes it harder to do because your understanding of the Credit Act means that people providing credit need to do what's called an assessment, credit assessment. Just take us through the process in order to be able to extend credit, what that test entails.
So how it works is, according to the National Credit Act, they stipulated quite clearly about what should happen when a consumer applies for credit. The first thing that credit provider needs to do is they need to do an affordability assessment, which means that they need to make sure that that specific consumer can actually service that credit agreement, whether it is a credit card, a home finance, vehicle finance, personal loan, whatever form of credit it is, even store credit. So that goes to affordability assessment. So you have to supply then proof that you have a certain amount of income. Then they usually have a look at your budget. So they ask you what is your expenses, and then they have a look at what is the discretionary income. So that is that amount when you go your gross, your net income, and you deduct all your expenses, that amount that still stays behind. Is that enough for you then to actually service this specific credit agreement? That's the very first thing that they need to do. And that is where something like reckless credit and reckless lending comes in, because sometimes what happens is that credit providers, as well as the consumer, is on the wrong side of that, where they inflate things, where they, for instance, say that I do earn this, but my expenses is only, let's say, not really the amount that it is supposed to be because I need to have that credit. And the same goes for credit providers, where they sometimes tweak things so that that person can get credit. And that is where it becomes quite tricky and where it becomes a bit sticky when it comes to especially things like reckless credit.
Okay, so they do this this assessment, and I think the kind of gist of it is that it relies heavily on what people provide the credit lender with in terms of some of the subjective expenses that they incur, which are not easily verifiable, let's put it that way, because obviously in many cases, for instance, like groceries, people might be spending cash, but there's no record of, you know, how much that ties up to month. So is that one of the flaws within this assessment that might be problematic for ensuring that the extension of credit is done responsibly?
It can be definitely one of the flaws. The other thing that the credit provider also needs to do is draw a credit report or a credit score from that specific consumer to see what is their credit behavior, to see what do they do, how do they pay off credit to you. So it's actually all about that behavior thing. So if you are a person that let one skip one, then obviously you're not a very good candidate for credit, and that puts that credit provider in a position where they possibly might not give you credit. So there's a couple of checks. The first thing is to do the affordability assessment, but then they also have to pull a credit report to see what is that person's credit profile look like. Are they a good paying citizen? And based on all that information, then they can make the assessment. But what you say is 100% true. When it comes to that budget, there's always this discretion when it comes to subjective information about how much do you spend on transport, how much do you spend on groceries, how much do you spend on clothing. And the thing is that most South African consumers do not actually even know themselves. So that is why we put in a ballpark figure. And that is what we always say to South Africans, try and get control over your finance. Know exactly where does your money go to. So budget is one of the most important things. The best way to do that is to pull a statement from first of the month to the last day of the month and actually start telling up on what you spend what amount so that you can get a better understanding about what's going on in your personal finances. So when you go into the position where you have to ask for credit or you want to apply for credit, you can actually give true indication of what's happening in your personal finances.
Okay, great. So that's certainly one thing that probably needs to be looked at there, because obviously, I'm just interested with the type of work that you do, whether the credit extender ever argues that the person may or may not have correctly provided them with information on whose liability then does that sit? Because are they then able to? I mean, if you're in that situation and you're a credit provider and someone accuses you of reckless lending, you go back to your documentation, and what happens in the event where it's shown that someone has not properly furnished all the necessary expenses when they made the credit application? I mean, is there any way out to kind of remedy that situation?
Well, that's where the two sides of the coin comes in. As of the 1st of April, as soon as a person goes under debt review, each credit agreement should be investigated for reckless credit. That is part of the law that started on 1st of April 2018 this year. So what happens is that as a debt counselor, we have to investigate each credit agreement to see if it was reckless or if it was not reckless. In the occasion where the consumer can prove, or we can prove, that specific credit agreement was reckless at that time, where the credit provider gave money to that consumer that they cannot afford or they didn't actually follow the proper procedures and policies, then actually what can happen is that credit can be completely written off. So that is the side for the credit provider. On the credit user or the South African consumer, that is where you have to take, you know, as I said earlier on, take control of your finances. You have to know what you can afford. So do not overinvest yourself or overindebt yourself, actually, when it comes to credit, taking out credit, because you need to live like that. That is where South African consumers have to start looking at where are they currently, what is their financial position in the microeconomy, and see what tweaks they can make. So to answer your question and just to make sure that I've answered it, for the credit provider, there is some consequences. If they do grant credit that was can be proved as reckless, then that credit can be completely written off. For the South African consumer on the other side, they signed for that credit agreement. So they are responsible to honor that credit agreement. And that is sometimes where we find that people enter debt review to obviously to restructure that credit agreement to make sure that they can service it and they can pay it off.
Matthijs, in your opinion, are South Africans very credit addicted?
In my opinion, unfortunately, I think that credit became a habit in South Africa. And we're so comfortable with it. And it happens with the internationals or the online space as well. If you look about online banking, and you currently, as a user of it as well, you open up your online banking, immediately what pops up is a notification saying that you can extend your credit card, or there's a personal loan already pre-qualified for you, or this or that. So credit is readily available. So it is so easy to take it. The problem is that South African consumers in quite a big number use credit to just get by at the end of the month. So it's never a good idea to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. So people sometimes want to take out a consolidation loan or a big personal loan or an extra mortgage on their home because they want to settle all the other credits. It can work if you make sure that, yet again, there's a lot of things that you have to look at, affordability, to make sure that you have interest rates that correlate, that you're actually not spending more to pay off the money. But to answer your question, South African consumers is definitely in the habit of making credit and living on credit.